Well, good morning. Beautiful morning. I love the sunshine shining in. Seems like it's been a couple of days since we've had much of that. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you so much this morning that you took it upon yourself to make a way for us, a way of salvation, Lord, when we had nothing to offer and we still have nothing to offer. But Father, you took it upon yourself to open up a way that was far beyond anything we could have imagined or dreamed of or even known to think of or ask for. But Father, you have just lavished your love on us so much. And we especially lift our hearts in praise for that this morning and want to focus our attention and our hearts and our minds on all that you've done. Just pray now that you would bless the opening and reading of your word, that it would be an encouragement, a blessing, and a cause for rejoicing and praise from each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a special Sunday, and it's an exciting time of the year. I know, especially you know, especially as for my kids and stuff, they're just very excited about it. But the whole season is a special and enjoyable time with lots of exciting things and family around that we don't get to see very often, and just a lot of good, special, enjoyable, precious things. But this morning, I want to take some time to focus in our hearts and our minds on the most special and precious thing of not just this season, but every season of our entire lives. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, and we're going to do a bit of reading. I'll try not to make it too much sound like I'm just reading. And let's open to Luke chapter 1. We'll start with verse 26. Right before this, there was an angel that appeared first to a man by the name of Zacharias and told him that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby. And they were both quite old. This was rather unprecedented. But the angel told him that this son was going to be very special. He was going to be a prophet. And so starting in verse 26, the angel comes now to a little bitty town of Nazareth. Verse 26 says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary." So here's a young lady who's engaged. She's excited about getting married soon to this man that she cares about very much. And this angel shows up, and the angel came in unto her, verse 28, and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's like, that's an odd kind of a greeting to give to me. An angel shows up in my, who knows what, her living room or her kitchen, or she's probably sitting there working away, and all of a sudden an angel shows up and says, "Hail, thou that are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And blessed are you among women." She's looking around, is he talking to me? This is kind of a strange way to greet me. And she didn't know what he was there to tell her, but she also didn't know why he would address her that way. But the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. This was something that no doubt Mary had grown up hearing about, that someday a Messiah will be born. And just like all the little Jewish girls probably imagined, what would it be like to be the one that he came through? What would it be like to be that one? But surely not me. I'm just a poor little country girl. And all of a sudden, here's this angel. Hey, you're going to bear a son, and his name is going to be the Son of the Highest, and he's going to rule and reign, and of his kingdom there will never, ever be an end. You're going to bear this little one. Wow. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How's this going to happen? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Can you imagine a little young lady standing there listening to all this, going, to me? Really? The Son of God? The Son of God, the Messiah, is going to come and be born through me. What a responsibility. What an honor. What a mind-boggling, just, whoa, I don't even know what to do with this. And behold, the angel's not done talking, he says, and behold, thy cousin, Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Just in case you have any doubts about the ability of God to perform this, you know your old cousin who's been barren for years and years and years, and she's quite old now? Yeah, she's having a baby. She's 6 months along. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I can just imagine as she's standing there hearing all this going through her mind, how am I going to be able to do this? How in the world am I going to be mother to the Son of God? That's too much. I don't know how I'm going to do this. What's going to happen? What's everybody going to think? I'm not married yet. All these thoughts going through her mind, I'm sure. But her response is, here I am. Lord, I'm your servant. You do to me whatever you want. Such a beautiful, beautiful response and testimony of her heart. And, you know, that's probably one of the reasons that God chose her to be the one, was because of the state of her heart. She was prepared with a willingness and a commitment to God and a readiness to obey and to serve without question, whether she understood it or not. You're not going to understand this. This is unprecedented. This is a miracle. This is something that has been talked about and prophesied for hundreds of years, and everybody's kind of, almost, you know, at some points in the Jewish history, it seems like maybe they almost kind of gave up or forgot about it. She doesn't know how this is going to work. She can't possibly imagine. What does he mean? The Holy Spirit will overshadow me and the power of the Highest will come on me, and so then I'm going to have a baby. And that, how is this all going to work? And where is he going to be born? And is Joseph going to go ahead and marry me? And am I going to have to support this baby all by myself? And what's going to happen? And how am I going to raise the Son of God? But her response is simply, you know best. I'm your servant. You do whatever you see right. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. And the angel departed from her, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth, her cousin. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation or the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Mary hadn't even got a chance yet to tell her, "Hey, I'm pregnant." Probably wasn't something she was going to be blasting all over the place. She's not a married woman. But when she said, "Hey, hello, Elizabeth," Elizabeth knew by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she says, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She understood immediately by the revelation of God exactly what was going on. "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she that believed." How did she know? How did Elizabeth know? She knew by the power of the Holy Spirit. She knew not only Mary is going to be the mother of my Savior, my Lord, but she knew Mary believed. She knew that. She knew that when the angel came and told Mary this good news, that Mary had not doubted. Mary had not argued back and forth. Mary had not been unbelieving or, "Well, show me a sign," or this or that. She simply believed. "For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my salvation. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." Absolutely. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he showeth strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." You know, it seems from the story that Mary was not a well-off young lady. She didn't come from a rich family. She didn't come from a well-known family. She was kind of a little nobody. And she's looking and saying, "Wow, God passed by all these famous, wealthy, well-known women who I'm sure thought, surely if the Son of God is going to be born, he would come through me. And came to this lowly little virgin Mary." Verse 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. We read in Matthew that Joseph, when he found this out, was having a little trouble with how to feel about this. Because are you really going to take your fiance's word for it that she's pregnant and there's no other guy? Are you really going to take her word for it that this angel showed up and said it was going to happen, and bam, it happened? She suddenly disappears and she's gone for 3 months, and she comes back and she's starting to have a little bit of a baby bump, and he's going, what went on up there in Judea? What in the world is going on here? But the Lord sent an angel and gave him a vision and told him, hey, this baby that she is bearing is the Son of God. And it's beautiful to see Joseph's response. He said, okay, all right. I will do my best to take care of and father and love on and raise this little one as my own son, even though he's not mine. It's not my little boy, but I'm going to claim him and take care of him and raise him. And it tells us in Matthew that he did not know his wife until after Jesus was born. He went ahead and married her. He started taking care of her. He started stepping up and being the husband and the father. But he waited until after Jesus was born. That's amazing. Just the belief and the acceptance and the willingness to fulfill and to obey the word of the Lord. So let's turn on over to Luke chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. Luke chapter 2, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." This is unusual for the government to want to tax people. But this is the first taxing that we know of, and it says in verse 2 that this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria. Sounds like this was the first major worldwide taxing in the Roman Empire. So he says, hey, you know what? We've got a big empire. We've got a lot of people. Let's get some money out of this. So he sent out a decree that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So Joseph's got to go travel up to his hometown, up to the town of his ancestry, of his lineage, in order to fulfill this government obligation. And here's his wife, very, very pregnant, baby coming any day, but here comes the decree, you got to go be taxed. So they don't have a choice. So they go and travel up to Galilee, or up to Bethlehem, from Galilee up to Bethlehem, to be taxed. And so it was, verse 6, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Uh-oh. The baby's coming, Joseph. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Can you imagine just how much of a failure Joseph must have felt like at that moment? Here, the woman that I love, who I'm engaged to, shows up and she's pregnant and says it's from the Holy Spirit. And sure enough, the Lord confirms that in a dream. And I'm supposed to father and watch out for and care for the Son of God. And now all these things outside of my control start happening, and I have to take my way too pregnant wife and travel way up here to Bethlehem. And we arrive, and there's no room in the inn, and she's about to have the baby, and the best we can find is a little manger and a little stable, and there we, you know, get as much clean straw as we can and put it in the manger and shoo out as many of the animals as we can and scrape off some of the mud and the dirt and the manure and try to get it as clean and prepared as we can. And here comes the baby. Wrap it up in the little bits of scraps of clothes we have left laying around and lay him in the manger. And can you imagine, as a man, as a husband, As a man who's been told by God, hey, you're going to be the father and raise, play the part of a father and raise my son. And I just feel like I miserably failed the very first step along that path. Can't even find a place, a decent, clean, respectable place for my wife to have a baby. It's amazing to just kind of put yourself in the shoes of these people and just realize this is just, it's just unprecedented. There's nothing like this has ever happened before. And they're just kind of trying to figure it out as they go. They're having visitations from angels. They're seeing visions. They're trying to remember all the things that they've read growing up in the Old Testament about the prophecies about Christ and what that's going to look like, and trying to figure out how they all fit into this. And it's a very exciting but also a very confusing and difficult time. I know if I had not been able to find a clean and decent warm place for my wife to have a baby, I would have felt pretty terrible. What a way to start out welcoming the Son of God. Best we can do is a manger. Best we can do is a little bit of straw. Verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. It's amazing. Pretty much every time in the Word of God when we see an angel show up, one of the first things out of his mouth is, fear not. It's okay. It's all right. Fear not. Can you imagine being out in the field in the middle of the night, kind of half drowsing, keeping an eye on your sheep, and all of a sudden, bam, like somebody turned a spotlight on, and there's angels around me, waking up half waking up out of your sleep going, what is going on? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Hey, I came special to tell you some really good news. For unto you, not just to the rich, not just to the famous, but you little shepherds who aren't even rich enough to pay somebody else to sit out here and watch your sheep at night, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Wait, what? A Savior who is Christ the Lord, but we're going to find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Kind of gives you a little idea of what might have been going on in heaven. God says, hey, you go down and tell them to this, to one angel. He says, you go down and wake these shepherds up and tell them the good news. And he's down there telling, and all the other angels are up there just getting more and more excited. And all of a sudden, they can't help it anymore. A great multitude suddenly appears, and they're just singing and praising God. And they want to be in on telling this good news too. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God's doing something amazing. God's doing something amazing. We read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, that he says his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This is unprecedented. Never in the history of mankind has any true or false God come and dwelt with his people in this kind of a way. God not just ruling over us, God not just blessing us, God not just being merciful to us, but God with us, among us, taking part in this life, in this earth, in the struggles, in the trials, in the hardships, in the heartache, in the temptations. God with us. All through the history of humanity, mankind has either worshipped the true God or a false god or many false gods, but always it's this looking upward, this fearful, well, he's bigger than us, he's stronger than us, he would never step foot down here with us, but we have to pay homage and do sacrifice and do service in order to make sure that we're right with him and that we're not offending him and that we're, you know, being respectful and honoring and all of these things. And here, all of a sudden, something that has never happened before, God with us. God has come down. He has humbled himself. He has taken on the same form and body that we have, and he's living among us. He's born. He allowed himself to come and be born to you this day in the city of David. Never before. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." What are we waiting for? Let's go. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the sayings which was told them concerning this child. Like, man, we got to go tell somebody. This is good news. This has never happened before. We've heard about this. You know, I think from what we can understand, it seems like a lot of your common people of the Jews weren't super well educated in the things of God and in the Old Testament. They knew a little bit here and there. They would hear things at the synagogue. They would hear things from the various scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law. But they themselves, a lot of them, weren't super well versed from what we understand in the Word of God. But they knew sometime, somewhere, there's a Savior who's supposed to be coming. And all of a sudden, he's here. You can't keep that to yourself. Let's go find some people and tell them. Let's go find somebody else and tell them. And they spread abroad this story and this sayings, what happened to them that night and what they saw and this little baby that was born in a manger. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. What? Really? The angel said it was the Savior, and he was born in a manger, not in a palace, not in a castle, not in a big, beautiful mansion somewhere. He was born in a manger? Really? Wow. That really happened. You were there too? You saw it too? Really? Wow. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. This is a committed, godly man, waiting, waiting, waiting for this promised Messiah, waiting for the good tidings that he knows are coming. He's studied, he's read, he's excited, and he's waiting. And verse 26 tells us it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've seen it, Lord. I've seen it. Which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of him. How does he know? How does he know who this is? We just found out through revelations and through angels showing up that this was the Savior and this was going to be the Son of God. How does this random stranger in the temple know that this is the Messiah? How does he know? And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of a great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. This is beautiful. This lady had spent almost her entire life simply serving the Lord as a single woman after her husband had died. She'd only been married for 7 years. And she knew the hearts in Israel who were looking for the Messiah and waiting for him and who were serious. And she made sure to tell him, hey, he arrived. I saw him. I've touched him. He's here. He's come. The Lord's fulfilled his promise. It's happening. She spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She's spreading the word. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It's a beautiful, beautiful story that we've heard dozens of times, but it's so precious. And if you and I can stop for a minute and realize just how special and amazing these truths are that we now partake in on a daily basis, Never before had anything like this ever been done. Ever. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, he says, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Wonderful. Counselor. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. I wonder if those shepherds knew enough of the Old Testament prophecies to have this running through their head when the angels showed up and they're saying, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Oh, he's supposed to be called the Prince of Peace. He's Wonderful. The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. Truly. Truly, this was an absolutely history-changing moment, not only for the ones who were there that day or any of the days that any of these miraculous, marvelous things happened, but for all of us through all of the rest of eternity. This was quite the day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, and Lord, I thank you that you did not leave us abandoned and struggling and helpless, but that you sent your very own Son as the Prince of Peace to restore peace between us and God. Lord, you came and you said that to us, to each one of us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Lord, I pray that this morning as we part ways that we would remember and glory in and revel in truly the most amazing thing that has ever been done since the dawn of creation to that point was the arrival of the Son of God Himself. In Jesus' name, amen.